you kind of need to remind yourself that you need to focus and try not to let stuff bother you as much as possible. But it is going to bother you because you're human, and I was human. I am human, still. But I was just referring to myself in the past. Not that I was not human.
Did you write it?
That word
is like instant comedy. It always has been.
It is. It just works.
It's the description of a sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. It's the name of a sandwich. That sandwich itself is really goofy, as like this, like a foot long,
like a leftover meat sandwich.
Totally. And then it's called a hoagie.
Hoagie.
And then also submarine is kind of the flip word of it, which in itself is also funny.
Submarine was the classier version of the word hoagie when they came out.
They're yeah.
Like, let's upgrade it to submarine.
It's a submarine sandwich.
That's right.
I think hoagie is way more upscale.
Hoagie was like 77 to 81, and then submarine was like 82 to like 88.
Is submarine the auditory gentrification of the word hoagie?
Ooh, possibly.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I think that's a social statement.
I don't do music.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot.
We don't like music.
Don't speak in keys and notes to us, dude.
Free, didn't you say you were trying to get into music now? Because of the clown poop band?
Yeah, man, they were good.
It's funny that
what's their genre?
If I'm being technical and pretentious, they're like a thrash metal, like a grindcore band.
Clowncore. That's what I read. Clowncore.
They would be a grindcore band, but
I just thought that was a pretty creative vid they put out.
It was a very creative vid. I don't know anything about them, but everybody's all the rage about that video right now. I just find it funny that you're getting into music through some of the most extreme subgenres. Like, you're getting into music through Death Grips and Clown.
Love Death Grips, dude. And Clowncore.
And Clowncore. So funny.
I'm coming at it through the back.
Both of them are great, though.
The backside. I figure if Top 40 didn't work, start at the other end and come in that way.
I like that.
Yeah. It's my philosophy.
Well, I think we can get into this. I think our sounds are feeling pretty good right now. Hear all the typing away as we all... What are you guys typing?
It's like aggressive. It's like a 70s newsroom.
I know.
It does sound like a 70s newsroom.
We're all smoking.
Yeah. I have a family situation going on at the moment that I'm like trying to talk someone off a cliff.
You're trying to sell your dad?
They're on a cliff.
Oh, really?
Not really, but...
Maybe we can figure it out right now in the pod. What's wrong with them?
They are dealing with anxiety and...
Well, we have episode 68.
I know. Go to our podcast.
Do they smell average?
Yeah, they're...
Steer them to episode 71.
Just check it out. get into fragrance or something.
Yeah.
Why don't you text them a link to that pod right now? And it's fixed. Problem solved.
I like this live solve dog boobs family situation.
I know. Yeah. This is like... Yeah.
Tell us more.
So they have a very stressful new job that they hate.
Okay.
They have anxiety, panic attacks that have gone untreated for their entire life. And now it's finally they're making an appointment to go to a doctor and talk about what to do, but it's not till Saturday. Yeah. And so
they're getting an appointment with a euthanagist.
Yes. God. Yes. And it's one of those things where it's like you can't help someone who's not helping themselves, you know? But they are now helping themselves, but also there's nothing I can do in the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it's one of those situations. You know people like that.
I know so many people like that.
They like require a lot of emotional support.
Right.
And not in a mean way, but like in a way that's like you need to take stock of the emotional labor you're asking of your family.
Sure.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah, wow. I know people like that. Shout out Uncle Dave.
Woo! Dave, here's looking at you.
No, I'm kidding.
Are you okay?
My Uncle Dave actually is awesome. He
has tried drinking and mushrooms.
My Uncle Dave, when my parents I was raised in West Virginia, and my dad's side of the family we were really tight with. But my mom's side of the family was this weird mystery family that we for some reason just didn't know a ton about. Like we knew Aunt Chloe was a geologist in the middle of West Virginia.
You guys were like the Hatfields and the McCoys, right?
Yeah, we were. Exactly. This is like, but it was, but so Dave, we had an uncle named Pete who lives in Paris. He's a Parisian expat who's like this mystery because obviously he lives in Paris. And then Dave lived in Portland. And when I graduated, I think I was either graduated college or high school. He sent me a message on Facebook that was like, "Now that you're an adult, your parents are finally going to let me talk to you."
Whoa.
And I was just like, "Tell me more. What's going on, Dave?"
So, Dave, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, so, let me start with the juice. You're like, "Whoa, Dave!
Whoa!"
I see where this is.
And I have another uncle who he. Oh man,
uncles are legitimately like the worst family members.
I know. They're the fun. They're the worst and the best because everybody has an uncle who's like, wouldn't introduce him to any of my friends, but that joke was a zinger, dude.
Yes.
And so I had this other uncle named George, who he left the family when he was like 12. He just was because my mom had like seven brothers and sisters or six brothers and sisters, and they were like pretty poor, and he was just like, fuck this. I don't want to live this life anymore. I'm going to move in with the doctor. So he moved in with the family doctor, apparently.
What?
I know, very strange. And then completely, like, never talked to the family again.
Wow.
Until, like, 30 years later when he got out of prison.
Whoa.
And called my mom and was like,
I'm out.
Yeah, she was like, he was like, I'm out. I want to, like, start anew and try to, like, reconnect with the family.
Yeah.
And married, he lives in Alaska, and married a Russian woman.
Mm.
Who came to our Thanksgiving didn't speak a lick of English, so we were just like, "What
was
is
she a
going?
Babushka?
Who is this guy? What is going on?
Who is he?"
Yeah, and then he, for my graduation gift, he got me an Alaskan bear hunting knife or some shit.
I was just gonna say like a buck knife,
and I didn't.
That's crazy.
And I got it, and I was like, "Thanks."
This
like,
is
it was
sick.
Kind of, it was very strange. I didn't know what to do with it. So
you killed a man.
So well, he got really upset when I reacted that way. He got like, it wasn't like upset like, "Oh, it really hurts me." It was like,
"You're
fuck
ungrateful.
You, you're an ungrateful piece of shit." And I was just like, "I don't know what this is. I have no context. Wait, who are you again? I think we're related. I'm not entirely
teenager,
sure." And then he killed himself. So, eventually, when he killed himself, nobody really knew him well enough. Like people knew him, but he was also like, I was in Paris with my other uncle when it happened, and we were both kind of like.
Whoa!
Wow, this is heavy.
If you're a loner and you spend your whole life like saying "fuck you, everybody else,"
well, he's kind of a dick.
And then you kill yourself, having to be like, whatever.
Well,
like nobody's gonna.
We're not joking about suicide here, but it was just one of those weird things. How do we get on this topic? Uncles.
Uncles.
Yeah. So
how do we get on uncles? I don't know, but go on.
We're always talking about uncles.
Why don't we get off uncles? Because I just got off yours.
Oh,
wow! Because I fucked him, Uncle Steve, dude.
Jesus Christ!
Right,
that was a really good one.
This really burned. Burned me.
All right, so
sick
let's,
burn,
let's,
dude. Don't come in my kitchen, dude, because you'll get stuffed full of turkeys.
Whoa, that's
fell telling
apart
him
at the end there. All right, so this is
Back
Reddit,
off, dude. Don't step.
Weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. We were here last week because I was in Miami, which is a whole other story that I kind of would love to talk about. But we're back this week. And the episode we left off on was Frag Splits. Fucking shout out that community. That was awesome, man. We really like that. And I'm actually wearing Tuscan leather right now that I got from WVU Phoenix.
Right. So your dad got on the sub.
I know. I got
joined.
On the sub.
Found some pals.
Yeah.
Now he smells real good.
Brought in some good stink today.
Smell like 2012 Italian baseball mitts.
Oh.
Yeah, you do. It smells nice.
That's such a good scent.
I've decided to open myself to a cologne this Christmas season.
Ooh, you're only a few months away.
I'm only 9 months away.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You know what I
also
did?
Develop my smell buds.
Yeah.
So immediately after that episode, I went to the airport. I had to fly out to Miami, and as all airports have, especially in Miami, I was like, there's duty free. There are a lot of scents in there. Now I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go in, and I found one called Oud. I sprayed it all over. Smelled like shit the rest of the day.
No! That's the worst part about fragrance is if you're stuck with it for the day.
I know. Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know. I don't even need to smell it. I already know what this is.
Yeah, I learned about Oud.
It's the best. I was just kind of like spray in my eyes, spray in my ears, spray in my mouth.
It's like a $5 spray each.
Totally.
I'm sorry, man.
Hey, you should put some Ziploc bags in your pocket and just. I'm just saying.
You mean just like open it up and spill it?
Yeah.
Okay. That works. That would, I could do that.
Don't be a fool.
Yeah.
I think the duty free now just finally made sense.
Totally.
Because I never really, I'm like, what is all this crap? I don't need a carton of cigs. But now.
I know.
But now I get it.
Yeah. And I went in. Frigs. And when I was leaving, there was a woman who was like, can I help you? And I was like, first of all, I was like, I can help you, actually, to be completely honest. But she was like, do you want anything? I was like, no, I'm just looking. She's like, well, where are you flying to? And I was like, oh, I'm not. I just got here. She's like, oh, you can't have any of this. Because apparently you can't buy it when you're staying. You can only buy it when you're leaving.
When you're going international,
How do they know?
I know.
You need to fill out a form when you buy stuff there. It's like some kind of a tax-exempt form or something.
Such bullshit.
So strange. But the point is... That's low class shit that I did there. You don't need to do it that way.
Yeah.
Just go to Frag Splits and participate in that culture.
Or straight to Paris.
But okay, so this week, there's a lot going on this week, man. This has been an interesting one for some hotly contested issues. But before we get into the sub of the day, which Friday here is going to lead, Which one is it? What's the actual sub?
Delete your Facebook, bro, because they're watching you. Anti-Facebook.
r/ all of that?
It's r/, hold on. The fucking man! No, it's r/ anti-Facebook.
Oh, okay. r/ delete your Facebook, bro, because they're coming for you.
They're watching every move you make.
That's called a teaser. If your toes aren't teased right now.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right, so...
Jump in a lake, dude.
Before we get in that, let's talk about some of the highlights of last week. And if we want to go the full 2 weeks, we can. But I got a couple fucking spices that I'm so excited about. One of them was mostly just on the internet, not on Reddit. For some reason, could you guys find Timmy Thick on Reddit?
There were
a couple of little things, but like not generally speaking. I feel like it's a whole different corner that... somehow is like not.
And to be totally honest, we would rather be just doing a Timmy Thick sub, but because it doesn't exist and Reddit doesn't really have much on it, we're just going to have to. I think we're using anti-Facebook as a crutch to get into Timmy Thick.
That's true. Somehow. I don't know how, but all right. So briefly, Timmy Thick, I don't even know how to begin talking about this. So Timmy Thick, for anybody who's unfamiliar, Timmy Thick is this Instagram account and Twitter account. And it's this boy, but he's very androgynous.
He's a man.
He's yeah. I guess it sounds pretty pervy if I say boy.
Yeah.
So he is a man. Ish.
He's 18 plus.
He's very androgynous. Name is Timmy Thick. I think his Twitter handle is like Barbie Boy or something, mm-hmm. right? And you look at his photos and your brain kind of short circuits. A little bit when you look at him because he basically has like below the waist he's Iggy Azalea, but above the waist
she's the best.
He's like a member of.
He looks like an eighth grade boy.
Yeah, he looks like an eighth grade boy.
It's
so surreal. I can't wrap my head around it.
And that little glitch you're talking about, it's kind of all of our brains are used to seeing humans in a way like
totally.
That anatomical way, and this doesn't quite compute.
Right.
Because I think we've kind of learned why.
Right.
But I don't want to
have
spoil
we learned why?
I don't want to spoil the fun.
Like here's my question about Timmy.
Okay.
Is Timmy photoshopped? Is Timmy trans, or is Timmy just shaped that way?
Well, that's a great question.
I don't think we know. So I think it's all speculative right now, which is my favorite place to be.
Right.
Because
and this is actually what I love about this. Yeah. So the reason we bring up Timmy Thick. So Timmy Thick has kind of been a mainstay in kind of meme world internet lore for a while. He's just an interesting character that you see pop up on just like especially in this stranger kind of quote unquote dank memes side of the internet. You'll see him pop up and you'll see images of him pop up and you'll see like comment threads or whatever, right? But this week on the 17th. Oh, my alarm. That's my
That's how you know the podcast is going.
It's going because of my alarms.
I was watching a video of Timmy Thicke while that was going off, and I was like, oh my God, this music. Did Timmy die? Yeah, is this really like a memoriam?
Timmy died in a tiger attack, Timmy Thicke. that's how the lyrics of that song goes.
All right, so Timmy Thicke. So anyway, so this week on the 17th, and a tweet from Timmy Thicke, which now has 34,000 shares, 93,000 likes, and 1,400 comments, that says, "Good evening. Timmy Thicke," in quotes, "was a 24-month sociological study conducted by Harvard University. We are now complete with our study. Thank you for your time."
And that's when everybody lost their shit.
Everybody lost their shit. And nobody, and everybody's kind of been speculating about it since, but nobody really has an answer.
It's so weird.
It's so strange.
Because one guy corroborated it.
Okay.
This guy named Brandon Wardell.
So apparently, I from an inside source, allegedly that is fake. However, this is kind of what's so fascinating about it is it sits in this weird Schrodinger's cat land, right? Yeah. Where we're kind of like, is he or is he not dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care to resolve it, to be completely honest. Like, I actually like the fact that we may never know.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the performance piece.
Exactly.
I'm like, this is, you just created art, Timmy Thicke.
I
like,
know.
Whatever this is art, and we don't need to tear it down. We need to enjoy it.
And that's exactly right. Like, this to me feels like the best representation of modern internet art I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever,
it's like post-postmodernist art.
Totally.
And if we find out there's a brand behind it, it would ruin it a little bit. If it's just
maybe it's so goddamn good that I don't think
it could be a brand would never have a 2-year.
Yeah, they don't have enough patience to do
well,
that.
Well, also, if this was
how many people's jobs got turned over in 2 years?
Yes. Right.
I mean, it depends on what brand this was, though. Like, if this was
Doritos,
if this was Burger King, I'd be like, oh my god, we're in the world I've always dreamed of right now, right?
I would vow to only go to Burger King from now on.
Oh, forever, dude. But
if it came out as
like a L'Oreal transgender rights thing, I'd be like, ah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Bullshit, right?
Because honestly, that would have been that would have been a terrible campaign.
Oh my God.
That just wouldn't have been very smart either way.
Totally.
But yeah, if it's just like a goofy thing, I don't know. I think it's an artist. I think he's an artist.
I think it's an artist. I'm so proud of the work he's done.
It's
I think
really
it's
good.
Fucking genius. I think everything about it.
I like that there's like
so
sort of
cool.
The idea of like a Banksy online.
Oh, for sure.
Sets these long core things up.
So some of the speculation people are saying that like the it so obviously the tweet itself mentioned the Harvard sociological study. Who knows that everybody's kind of like, is that just saying
trying to put us off the trail?
Well, it's essentially, I think it's saying, what is the most highfalutin, high academic thing that we can mention to offset the apex of low culture?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, because Timmy Thicke is like, he's like bad Barbie or bad baby, that rapper who's like Catch Me Outside Girl.
Yeah.
It's like her dumbed down another couple pegs, right?
Yeah.
To like pure sexual energy, right? and in saying it's a Harvard sociological study puts it at the apex of modern intelligence.
And it's so original.
It's so original, right? So I think if that itself is the art piece, genius. But the Instagram Instagram page is been deleted. It's no longer there. Timmy Thicke has not said a single goddamn thing since.
There's a great article I read on babe.net, our favorite and New York Times.
The only good article I've ever heard from Babe is about Timmy Thicke.
The gold standard in news reporting. But their article on this is actually fantastic.
It's pretty good.
It was published on the 19th just a couple days ago, so it was like pretty fresh. But they kind of ran through the whole thing. But one of my favorite things about it was they have all these great sort of retweets from other people about it.
Totally.
Which are super funny. And there's a lot of people talking shit. Like the babe.net article talks shit. They're like, there's no way Harvard could pull this off because nobody that goes to Harvard right now is funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they just like the babe.net. Like,
that's funny.
It's like, Harvard sucks. Like, they're calling out Harvard.
And it was kind of just like, oh, well, yeah. Okay.
There's this.
Yeah,
that,
totally.
That is proof. They aren't funny enough. Everybody kind of accepted it.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of like, yeah, you're right.
Well, but that was another side point.
This is like this too good for Harvard.
They did say that it was somebody was speculating that it was like a writer from the Harvard Lampoon, which would make sense because the Harvard Lampoon is, you know, it's some of the greatest comedy writers of the world in the history of comedy have come from the Harvard Lampoon.
Yes.
So in theory, I can see how that would make sense, but it's because this transcends funny. Like, that's the thing that is so good about it, is it's not even just funny. It's like the Onion manifest. I feel like I opened a door to like a fucking magical meme world that I didn't know existed. And I'm just so giddy thinking about all the shit that exists in our world that we think is real being completely fucking made up by people that are just fucking with people. And that makes me so happy. Because none of these things, like, I think part of what we love, why we love doing this pod and, like, all of the way we perceive a lot of this stuff is, like, none of the things we're interested in we're that engaged with. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of watch it a little bit from afar. So it's like some of the people that are highly engaged with Timmy Thick, they're just like, too real, I can't, this is not fair.
Yeah, people are crying, kind of like, their shit.
Holy shit, you know what I mean?
One of the, back to babe.net, one of the great tweets that they posted from this guy, E.H. Jovan, his name's Jovan.
Cool.
It's got my mind going a little bit. What if Stephen Hawking was Timmy Thick? Because it kind of happened like, I think 2 days apart.
Yeah. Right.
And so you got to think they're connected.
Oh, I mean, my God.
Of course they're connected. Yeah. Dude, these guys.
Correlation is causation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly
the matter is, like, I haven't heard from Timmy Thick since Stephen Hawking died. So
that's true.
I mean,
have you seen them in the same room together?
Check your black hole, dude, because that's where they're hanging out.
That's right. I mean, it's just so goddamn funny and interesting. And it's like we said, this one, I think, is. I don't know if calling it peak meme does it justice, but we're kind of in a little bit of a peak meme world right now where, like, take the time to research Timmy Thick. Probably not in public, but probably
at work.
It's a little, I wouldn't say it's necessarily not safe for work. However, I will.
I mean, his sexual energy leaches through the computer screen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. For sure.
He pulls you in. He's like looking at Medusa.
Like, this fucking photo, literally, if you go to his Twitter page, the third photo, like the third post down, it says open for a surprise. And it's just, I'm like, I look at that and I like feel, it makes me feel fucking rotten. And I'm like, and it's just,
it's so mysterious.
It's just a bull. I can't wrap my head around it.
I love everything about it. And then, I would say it's not safe for work, but it's not safe for work. Right. You know what I mean? Like the emphasis on the safe, like it's not.
Right.
Safe.
Though I will say, if you go to the post,
you'd have to explain it to your boss.
But it's not safe.
If you go, if you have to go to like the post, boss.
His name's Timmy Thick.
Yeah.
Okay. He's just a regular guy, like you.
So, like you. Or me.
As a real warning, though, the post that says "Good evening, Timmy Thick was a 24 at whatever," the top response is "No, it wasn't, dog. Nobody in Harvard gonna fake this," and it's of Timmy Thick giving a foot job to a like a big black man on a couch. So I will say, don't like. Just be weary.
Oh,
are you seeing that? Doug
yeah,
Gibbs?
Nice. I like that. If it is somebody at Harvard and they know exactly how to play against the Harvard trope,
right?
Of like they're shitting on themselves just to throw off the scent. I mean, the other thing that could be cool if it's Harvard, it's like somebody essentially, like, you know, boiled down an algorithm that knew exactly how to get people's attention.
I mean,
in the exact way that matters.
Yeah.
It's
like an extreme algorithm, right? It's like they took like extreme sexuality, like the kind of topics of today's era, and
he's
transgender
he's very
issues.
Bullyable, you very know, online. Bullyable. So he's sort of like an invitation for people to troll. And so
in some of his,
but then you knew like these kind of certain kinds of people would respect him
totally
because of his panache.
Yeah. Panache. That's the exact word to use.
Yeah. Panache.
I mean, love it.
What about his sassy panache?
there were a few Reddit posts that I think do also highlight this whole topic as well. So there's one. So in what was it in Chapo Trap House? I don't totally understand what Chapo Trap House is. I think it's just a group of internet celebrities, I'm pretty sure. But maybe one of you guys can do some research on that while I'm working on this.
Working on it.
But there was a post from the original poster that said, what's happening with Timmy Thick? Because I think Timmy Thick was somehow associated with Chapo Trap House. Maybe they were just fans of each other. I don't know. Or maybe it was just a raw enthusiasm. But Timmy Thick blurred the lines between genders. He existed to show us the way when it comes to positivity and self-love. All his detractors were straight teenage men. What does that tell you? Timmy Thick was an institution, and the only thing I was proud to present to the aliens when they asked for an indicator for how advanced our civilization was.
So that's
I think is really interesting, is that when you think about if it was a Harvard experiment, the things that you would put into the experiment as kind of the variables.
Yeah.
You think about the issues with gender rights. So this is kind of this trans kind of ambiguous gender,
being sexual in a way that women tend to be, and
right. People also called him the gayest boy on the internet. I've seen that thrown around. So it's like a few of these issues that I think are very much in the zeitgeist. As well as the over sexualization that you see with the Kardashians, Iggy Azalea, whatever. But also the tone was both sexualized but also extremely positive, which is also very much in the zeitgeist of modern internet. So I can see how it would be a social study.
He's the perfect internet personality. If you sort of add up all those sort of data points,
right.
He's what the computer spits out.
He's like what happens when a bullying victim gets too strong for the bully. You know, it's like he became too powerful, and they can't bully him anymore. He's just fucking fabulous.
He's a super human.
Fucking fabulous.
That's
a perfect way to describe it.
Kind of interesting about it. I think it sort of exemplifies you need about 2 years on any sort of internet endeavor to sort of make waves a little bit. Right. It takes a little bit of time. I mean, they were really consistent and patient with that too. Whoever's doing it. And it finally now is just going. So people that want to get viral like next week, you're like, you need 2 years. I think it takes about that long.
I also think there is a methodology and a formula to creating a personality online that becomes potentially viral. I mean, we've seen it with Dad Boner, I think, is a hilarious account. Like a Twitter account who, I think it's Dad Boner, right?
I don't follow.
Oh, man.
I'm a dad and I'm trying to get boners. Is that what you're talking about? Tips and tricks for dads?
Dadboners.com is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Cool.
Dad Boner, I think, is...
Write that down in my journal.
It's a Twitter account that is Carl Welzing.
Sounds English.
It's got 137,000 followers, and it's literally a character Twitter account of like a Midwestern divorced dad who just like is struggling in real life, but is also like, I'm just listening to Cheap Trick in my 96 Civic right now, drinking a Miller. What are you up to? You know, it's like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So it's really funny, but it's a character. And I think there are probably other examples of how that works on the internet. And Timmy Thick is probably like a really extreme example of it, but there are a lot of those kind of characters that develop over Twitter and Instagram.
Carl at Dad Boner always sends out a happy Friday to you.
Yeah,
you
guys. Totally.
And it's always like a cool picture of Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've got a perfect segue. Is the fact that I didn't see anything about Timmy Thick on Facebook a sign that Facebook is dying?
That's actually
a very interesting question, because I think it's been dying for a long time.
Right? Well, but guess what?
No one's picking up on
it.
It
officially died last week.
I'll tell you what. So I'm going to be playing counter-argument to a lot of this, because I've been getting increasingly into Facebook lately. And I'll tell you why as we kind of get into this. But the topic for today is very much pertinent to current events, if you've been following. And if for some reason you've been out of the loop, Reddit has been filled with topics about kind of the demise of Facebook in this last week because of a very specific study and a whistleblower that I will let Frida talk through.
Right. So on December 15th, 2017, guys, not that long ago, the Wall Street Journal reported that special counsel Robert Mueller requested that Cambridge Analytica turn over documents that would connect President Trump's campaign to his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Okay, so...
Wait, I didn't know that was the... I didn't know Mueller was involved.
This is where it started.
Oh, shit.
Trump's campaign used this company called Cambridge Analytica, which is a data service.
Right. Run by Steve Bannon at the time. The wing of it was run by Steve Bannon.
So Robert Mueller subpoenas them, gets their information. And through that, we find out that Facebook, hold on. So
I just want to
Cambridge
jump
Analytica
in and say,
harvested
Robert Mueller could subpoena me any day. Okay, go on. I have a crush on him. Go on.
That guy needs more and more bow ties.
I need to say.
So, Cambridge Analytica harvested information from 50 million Facebook profiles without the user's permission. That's essentially what we find out has happened.
Right.
And so the company uses this information to build software that could predict and influence political opinions in the favor of then presidential nominee Donald Trump.
Right.
So that's what happened. And so this information just kind of came out last week.
And Cambridge Analytica had been hired previously by Ted Cruz, but then once he was out of the race, Trump hired him.
Picked him up. They're like, well, we already have all this information. Like, let's use it for whoever to steer them in whatever direction.
Let's use it for Jeb. And they're like, no.
I mean, we have information for sale, Jeb. Basically, and we can steer it. So that's kind of the short story of kind of how this information came out. So now everyone is essentially, taking to the streets and saying like, you've sold us out and blah, 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 blah. The internet catches fire. So that's kind of where...
And I think it's interesting because Cambridge Analytica is obviously under fire, but they kind of have come out and said, we're not doing anything illegal, man. We're just doing what Facebook let us do. Yes, we created some fucked up shit, but you already knew we were kind of like an unethical company. What's new?
Right.
The problem is that Facebook let us do this without telling anybody. So it's on them.
Facebook got paid whatever they got paid to let this happen.
Right.
And they essentially sold you out, users, and it's not our fault. I mean, if you let us, so why wouldn't we? I mean, we're going to exploit everything we can legally, and they kind of did. And so then the Zuck came out and kind of, laid out this apology and was like, we weren't honest.
Yesterday. He did an interview, I think, through Facebook Live or whatever.
And he kind of, he takes a little bit of the blame, but he also pins a lot of the blame on Cambridge Analytica and saying like those guys, it was them, which is, it's like, God damn, it's the worst way to apologize is by blaming on somebody else.
I mean, it's the worst way to apologize, and it's the system. I was actually listening to NPR on the way here, and they were talking about it because this is very much in the mainstream media circuit right now. Not the sub, because I think, what is the sub? Anti-Facebook, right?
Anti-Facebook.
Anti-Facebook.
Which because we need to get the brass tacks of the sub itself, it's not like it was created specifically for this cause. I think it's been up for a while. I think because Facebook, and we have some friends, we know we have some people that listen to this that actually aren't involved in Facebook. Shout out Ho for Show. I know you just quit.
Yeah, right on,
Facebook,
dude.
Bro. The anti-Facebook movement has been happening for a while for this exact reason, but I think this is the biggest scandal yet that articulates the real dangers of what everybody has known Facebook does all along.
Yeah.
Right. This isn't a conspiracy theory that's like adjacent proof. It's actual, on the record now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I tend to side... I don't want to say I side with Cambridge Analytica on this, but I definitely understand that because, Trump, when something is legal and there's a loophole, it's kind of in everybody's nature to exploit it.
That's right? What you do when you write off your taxes.
Yeah, you write off your taxes.
You go, oh, wait, I can do this? Oh, of course I'm not going to pay.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I want to keep my money.
I mean, that was what, that was one thing. It was one of few things that Trump said in his pre-election.
He's not wrong about that. No. Everybody does that.
And that was because he was like, you're getting mad at me for not paying my taxes or going through this tax loophole. Well, then fix the loophole, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Cambridge Analytica is essentially saying that. We're like, we are for hire, right?
Yeah.
This company hired us. Yes, we lean conservative. Yes, whatever. But like, we're fucking capitalist idiots. We're aware of that. It's not our problem that Facebook has created a system that allows for the harvesting of your information all willy-nilly they are an extremely valuable company who have made a fuck ton of money. Like, that's how they do it. Like, they it solely by selling our information.
Yeah, we are the product that Facebook essentially sells. We be the information and individuals.
And, and I think it's not... I mean, there's, like anything, there's a really, really cynical way to look at it and a really kind of realistic way. I think we kind of need to tread the line a little bit on this, where there is... It is to a first of all, everybody on the internet does this, right? I wouldn't. I bet Reddit does this too.
It's
to
the
degree,
exchange
right?
for free use of
yeah.
Well, it's
of
also
services,
the monetization of any of the stuff, right? I mean, so when and it's not all bad. I mean, I think there's a way.
Cui bono, big data.
Cui bono, big data.
Follow the money, big pharma. Money. Yeah, big pharma.
But there is a way. I mean, if you want to know, like for instance, the very juvenile, simple way is like everybody that likes the Cleveland Indians baseball page. When there's an Indians merch deal, we're going to let them know. Right?
Yeah.
That's the very simple version of exactly what happened here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other way is what Cambridge Analytica did, from my understanding. We're not data scientists here, obviously, and I know it's way more complicated than this, but it's we have seen...
Occam's razor, bro. Yeah,
we have seen all these trends within how people are interacting, liking, exchanging comments, etc., we are taking that data that we've aggregated automatically, right?
Yeah.
Because of the loopholes through Facebook's system. And then we are creating software that probably Cambridge Analytica also would sell for other reasons, i.e. Russian troll farms, etc.
Right.
To then manifest into Fox News ads. Hey, Fox News, here is how you write about this to get the most attention on Facebook. To push your cause, right? It's like things like that.
Yeah, it's basically what humans do about with everything. It's like we take something that's possible and use it for the most insidious reasons we can.
Totally.
And so there's
the most valuable way, which happens to be the most insidious.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So there's like a post that's on the top of the news subreddit right now that does a really good job of like describing why people are pissed off. I know, like, I'm a little confused about all of this because I always knew that like Facebook had the right to take all
totally
you know
well they
I mean,
tell you I mean that's
yeah,
the problem
tell
is
you.
They let you know whenever you sign up for something they go hey, here's you can accept this privacy policy
like
go for it, right?
And it's pretty standard it's like you know if you click yes I want to take this quiz about what Disney princess I'm gonna look like when I die like you're sharing your information but I think
that's an amazing quiz.
I've taken so many like
what,
that
what Disney princess is your corpse gonna look like
exactly yeah. And so like, I think the big thing that I was confused about was like, why is this a big deal? I think the thing that I'm seeing is that it's in violation of selling that to a third party.
Right.
So, something that was interesting is Edward Snowden, our buddy.
Snowdogs.
He tweeted
big
something.
Listener.
Yeah.
Shout out Ed.
Hey Ed, we
shout
love
out
you.
Snowdog, shout out Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Oh, rip. Rip.
Rippers and Peacers,
Rippers
Paul.
And Peacers. But Edward Snowden tweeted about this. He said, businesses that make money by collecting and selling detailed records of private lives were once plainly described as surveillance companies.
Right.
Their rebranding as social media is the most successful deception since the Department of War became the Department of Defense.
Oh, man.
And that's kind of crazy.
He's that's genius.
I love that.
Social media. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a term now that nobody even... when you say social media, the first thing that comes to mind is not going to be all of my information is being shared. It's,
totally.
It's connecting with the world because Facebook branded it. Facebook, like...
Well, Facebook created this industry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their...
It's putting a camera inside your house and letting them watch you.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, that's what it all is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's why I have 5 Alexas.
Yeah. And
one in every toilet room.
Something that I've been seeing a lot of people say is that like...
Just rooms with toilets.
We
we don't even have sinks
toilet,
in there.
Toilet room.
No sinks. No sinks, dude. Just toilets.
Something I've seen a lot of people say about this is like, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. If you're ever using any service for free, it's because you are the product. That's the only way they make money. Like, you have to... Like, the fact that more people aren't wondering why Mark Zuckerberg is one of the most rich people in the world and we use his product for free.
Totally.
It's because it's not the product. Like, our information is the product.
We're the product.
We're the product.
And again, I mean, we get into some interesting questions about all this, right? Because I've recently started using a VPN. Ooh. Virtual Private Network, I think, is what they're Whoa. Is yeah. the acronym.
Let's talk about that.
Tell
for
me
one
what
second.
That is.
You guys don't know what VPNs no. are. So VPN. So my understanding, and I
that was the nickname of a guy I went to school with.
VPN, really?
Vinny Pompeo Nicolino.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
Wow.
So VPNs. I want to. Can you somebody check that up? VPN. Make sure I'm getting the acronym right. I'm almost positive it's a virtual private network. Yeah. So basically what they are is, so whenever we access the internet, we access it from, it tells our IP address, it gives our location data, it will, you know, like Google will be like, there are, you can buy these sinks for a deal at your local Walmart 5 blocks from you, right? And everybody's like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
How do you know where I am?
So VPNs essentially, they put you through a different server.
Scramble your cookies?
They might yeah. scramble your cookies. I don't really know the total details about that.
I don't know what that means.
But anyway, it essentially lets you connect through a server at a location you choose. So it's not like immediately obvious where you're doing it from, right?
Okay.
And I think it can seem
where
sketchy,
did you
but it's
choose?
Not. You can choose anywhere. You can do it from Hong Kong. You can do it from Germany. You can do it from anywhere. Miami, whatever.
Where is your scrambled cookie?
I don't have it on right now, so I don't know. But
it's a switch you can throw on?
It's literally a button that you turn on, and it just like scrambles your stuff. So people used to use them for things like when you're in another country and you're trying to watch Netflix, and you're just like, sorry, can't watch it from your area.
Yeah. You can scramble yourself to the United States.
Yeah, you can say, this is access from the United States, and it's just like,
teleportation.
Oh, you're watching from Austin. Cool,
and,
right?
That could be so valuable, too, is if it a lot of people coordinated that and created false data about an entire location. Right.
Well, that's one of the things.
I can stop packing my DVD players in my suitcase from my different zones.
That's one of the things that people like Edward Snowden and security professionals suggest you do, just because they are. It's a lot less. Like when everybody says, one of the big arguments when people talk about the NSA and kind of always watching your data, always watching your web traffic, whatever. It's a lot less that. That you're doing something sketchy. It's a lot more like the fact that you're letting them opens a precedent to so much more shit.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's part of what Facebook is exposing here. And this is actually something that I've noticed. The reason I brought up the VPN is because ever since I started using it, every time I open up Google, I get a notice that's like, hey, review our privacy policy. Trust us, it's totally fine. Either accept or, you know, whatever. And I'm always like, I'm not accepting because I know that the reason you're doing this is because you see that I'm doing it from a different location now. And the rules may have changed according to what I probably previously accepted.
Yeah.
Right? So now, like, they don't have a legal precedent to gather my data. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. And I think this is one of the big, big problems I think this Facebook thing actually opens up to is the fact that we don't currently... I feel like internet law as a concept is not we are not catching up to the rate by which the internet is changing.
Yeah.
Right?
Only takes 3 months to get a court date, you know, so I don't see how that could happen.
Is that true?
I think it takes like 90 days to get into a court.
That's
LA,
insane, dude.
Something like that.
So, yeah. Something that I think is super interesting is Reddit's take on this delete
right.
Facebook.
Right.
Thing.
So through the subreddit itself?
Yeah. Okay. So through anti-Facebook itself. So a lot of people, you know, like you said, anti-Facebook, the subreddit, it predates this whole situation. I just checked. It's like 5 years old. There aren't even that many readers. There are 5,000 readers, 39 of which are on right now.
Right.
And I think it's kind of interesting that it's not necessarily delete Facebook. That like they didn't call it delete Facebook. Even though that's a trending hashtag now, a lot of people on the sub are saying, don't bother deleting Facebook. We should just troll all of our data. So, you know, like this guy has he's Space Jockey 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I would give him gold, but he's already been gilded 3 times. So
Ooh.
I don't know.
Heads up for a... We're not going to give you a fourth.
So instead of deleting Facebook, we should just troll all our data so these companies can collect all the shit they want.
I love Hula Hoops.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm a 96-year-old male from Kenya, PhD in basket weaving at MIT. Like pages include My Little Pony, Vietnam War Vets, Bullfighting, Moms Against GMO, and PETA. Hashtag troll Facebook. So
that's in his data.
That is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that exactly. Because then it becomes less valuable, becomes less important.
Yeah.
And but like, you still get to use what you want, which is, you know, stalking right. ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and that also opens up, I mean, it opens up a different, interesting legal precedent, too, because then you kind of are making Facebook play its card, right? Which is, okay, cool. We're giving you bunk data that you can't use.
Bunk data.
So
I love data. That word.
So either
such a good word.
Either you figure out the truth, which is clearly illegal, right? Because then it incorporates real surveillance, right?
Yeah.
Or your business model implodes, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really fascinating proposition with this all. Now, that said, we briefly, I don't know if we were talking about this on the pod or not, but I'm actually in favor of Facebook right now. Not in favor of all the stuff we're talking about, yeah. but I think part of the reason people have been like, Facebook is dying is because it's very... The culture of Facebook, for a moment, got really like moms with minion memes and shit.
Oh, yeah. Minion hate.
Minion hate. And shout out episode like 2.
Yeah, right? That was a good one.
I know. But
I can't listen. I won't.
You won't listen.
You can't listen?
That's probably going to be not as good.
Yeah.
to our early pods?
I don't know. We should.
We got the same charm.
You guys, you gotta check it out anyway. It's vintage and it's about minions. Yeah, it's vintage. So good.
Is this thing on?
So I've recently discovered Facebook groups are kind of one of the most amazing things, right?
Yeah.
So, because there are all these bizarre, surreal groups on Facebook, and some of them are really sincere and some of them are fucking out there banana shit.
They're kind of like subreddits.
They're a lot like subreddits. Yeah. And that was actually something that our guest from last week, Ryan Al-Rajul, I believe was his username.
Yeah.
He had mentioned that he's starting he's starting to spend a lot more time on the fragrant split equivalents on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because they end up getting a lot stranger things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And so Facebook is actually, culturally speaking, I think is actually starting to hit a really interesting stride in terms of the weird shit, right?
Right.
Now,
how do you search for Facebook groups? Because with Reddit, there's so many different avenues in where right. you can just Google like trending subreddits right. and there's all kinds of cool ways to find new things. But with Facebook, how do you even navigate those groups?
I actually... Yeah. Don't know. That's
sometimes you stumble upon them on a Google search.
Well, they usually serve them up to me on the side.
I'm looking at more efficient light bulbs. There's like a group for that.
Right. You know. So for instance, some of the groups that I'm a part of, right, that I participate a lot in, there's one that's a group where you can only say yikes.
Nice. That sounds like Reddit now.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So this is what I find interesting is like they're Facebook groups, but they're starting to get a lot more into these cryptic, kind of surreal meme art expression style concepts, right? So a group where you can only say yikes is literally people post shit that makes you say yikes, and then everybody in the comments say yikes. Right? Yeah. It's very simple, right?
That's perfect.
There's one that I joined recently that is... I don't even know how to pronounce this, but it's Humst Dveljent Edis... half created this abomination. And it's just, it's another hyper meme focused group that's like bizarre. It's essentially surreal memes as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just things like that. There's a really popular one right now that I've recently joined called We're All God's Children and He Left Us in a Hot Car.
No, that's so good. But
that has 18,000 members, right? Yes. Like, so these are huge communities that are designed specifically for people to share bananas weirdo shit, right?
Yeah.
And I actually love that because I think that we're kind of getting past this point where Facebook became so so mass.
Yeah.
That in terms of what you were saying about trolling the data... I would love to see the Facebook data that Facebook has grabbed on me because I'm now a part of so many of these weird groups and I like so much strange shit.
Yeah.
And granted, my facts are straight, which I probably could and should change. But like, if they're doing it based on my behavior, I'd be very curious to see what kind of assessments they make based on things like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Facebook starts getting really interesting because in the same way that Reddit the anonymity of the personalities of the users is what makes Reddit like kind of it's what gives it its magic.
Yeah.
But also makes it really difficult for the buyers and sellers to a degree.
And it's almost like the fact that you aren't, I mean, you can be anonymous on Facebook, but that's not like a tent pole of what Facebook is. Totally. But like, it's almost weirder because of that. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, what do you think is like the weirdest group that you're in on Facebook? Because I found mine. Mine is literally a picture of like a white kid with a butter knife, and it says, "Even though you stabbed my nan, you're still da one for me."
That's the group?
That's the group.
Amazing.
And it's about, it's just
nan stabbers.
Yeah. It's just, you stabbed my grandma, but I'm still in love with you. That's like basically
that's the
gist.
Group.
And right. Cool, it's group. Great. Yeah.
Very
and
vague.
The about is, "This is dedicated to my baby boy, who although he broke my heart by stabbing my nan, I still forgive him and am willing to give him one more chance."
That's incredible.
What are some weird ones that you guys have that Facebook would be,
I don't,
you know, a little remiss to be using to target ads to you?
I use you right Facebook now. Less and less and less. Yeah. I check it once a week now.
Well, easily the group, and I'm fascinated by this group, and I have a couple friends who are also in this group for ironic reasons, but I actually think it's a sincere group, is All Things Pet Rats. And I've been in it for a few years now.
How do the groups work? I mean,
it's literally just it's very simple, actually, right? All it is
you click a button that says join group.
You join a group, and then whenever people post in that group, it shows up on your wall.
Got right? it. So you're just
it's very
of,
simple.
Yeah.
Right? So every time somebody posts something on the like all you can say is yikes, I'll get it'll show up in my feed like a friend posted it, right?
Yeah.
It.
There's one group I'm in that's the same picture of Jeff Goldblum every day, and they just post the same picture of Jeff Goldblum every day. And I see it every day.
And that shit, see what's so interesting in terms of the anti-Facebook sentiment and trolling Facebook, which now that you've said that from the subreddit is
sense.
Easily the best tactic to combat all this.
Yeah.
It's like that the bots are going to be like, here's a fan of Jeff Goldblum, but that's not the reason you're in that group.
Exactly.
It means nothing to you.
The
right?
nuance yeah. so of like why you. People like things is lost.
It's so, yeah. Because I don't have a pet rat. I don't participate in pet rat culture.
No, because those people are weird.
Yeah, well, but you'd probably
but
get targeted
sincere.
For like
exactly.
pet feed.
Exactly.
But
what
feed.
About the guy at Starbucks with the pet rat on his shoulder, and he's got those those boots with like the thick soles? And,
I love
like, them. His jeans are way too tight.
I love
them. He's probably wearing a duster.
You guys seen the movie Ben?
No. What is it?
It's about a pet rat.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's an old. We don't have to talk about it, but Michael Jackson
is this
wrote
movies,
a song about it.
Did you make this
incredible.
Movie when you were 11?
I another did.
This is another one of my feature films called Ben.
You guys, you guys really need to listen to the Michael Jackson song Ben.
I'd
it's
like to hear
beautiful.
It right now.
That's amazing.
It's really beautiful.
I wish we could pipe it in.
Me too.
So
me
that's,
too.
So now
you know what? I just had a thought that sure. I mean, it seems like Facebook's trying to map human behavior, right?
Yeah,
essentially,
of course.
So then they can.
Which is which isn't necessarily a bad thing though.
Well, it's selling this sort of selling of the data of it seems petty.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
But we understand they have to pay for all their employees free lunch that they get and sushi rolls and stuff. So like all the sushi rolls and free everything they get is sort of paid for by your information. But yeah, the mapping of human behavior, that's kind of interesting.
Right.
I started thinking about because I know we talked about the show Mindhunter before on here, which is sort of the FBI profiling,
right?
The creation of the FBI profilers and Hannibal Lecter, et cetera, right? So they're trying to profile and like figure out how a serial killer
right.
thinks and why, and so they can stop it from happening again,
yeah.
right? So it's almost like Facebook's becoming this group of scientists trying to dictate or figure out how humans are going to act next
it is.
And why, and then be there when it
right.
happens to sort of profit off of it.
Well, but there's real value in that on a social scale. And I think it's important. I think that people...
It could be a sort of evolutionary jump
for
know,
sure.
in a way, because you have now 6 billion points of data
totally.
Which you just didn't have before. And you can sort of
totally.
Say, oh, people do this, this, and this. And we know more about people. What you can never predict
right.
is why somebody likes Jeff Goldblum.
No. I mean, the problem yep. the problem is how dehumanizing it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because I think that...
There's a respectable way to go about it. And there's
well,
there's like a... behind the scenes cloak and daggery way.
I mean, I think that this is part of the reason we love the Timmy Thicke thing so much, right? Is because
his ass is so tight.
Because they called it a Harvard social study, right? Mm-hmm. And so even if it's not a Harvard social study, that when you think of it in the academic terminology, you go, oh, okay, like this is advancing society. I understand why my information is being used XYZ, right? But the problem is when you make it a profit-driven discovery process. Now, granted, that is how capitalism works, and I get that, and I think we would be remiss to not recognize that, because at the end of the day, Facebook probably can only fund the more grandiose things it's doing through the profiteering of data that they're getting in this manner. Right?
Assuming they're doing grandiose things, I guess.
Well, but they are. I mean, they definitely are. I mean, they're pushing AI forward. They've made this insane network.
Are they the next Skynet, or is Google, or are they a combination of one? They're going to have, I mean, the Silicon Valley Wars of 2052 are going to be amazing.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about laser beams, cats with freaking laser beams.
I mean, I'm hoping by that point, we're using money to fix all the fucking problems in our world. Because, I mean, that's the other thing with Zuckerberg. And I'm not a Zuckerberg apologist by any means. But,
Zuck!
Ooh, got a little spicy there.
Zuck!
Came in hot.
We hate you, Ben.
But you know, he does have his internet.org thing, which I think is about getting internet access to
the
whole
most
world.
Internet domain I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole premise is getting internet to everybody in the world. Right?
So we can mine your data to Cambridge Analytica.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's, I mean, but that's one way to think about it. But the other side of it is, I mean, again, Bill Gates has the Gates Foundation predicated entirely on building Microsoft, which a lot of people say really destroyed a lot of other businesses in its wake, right?
Yeah.
I don't think what is going on with Cambridge Analytica is by any means good. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm glad that when you look at this subreddit, and I think we should get back to the subreddit about some of the other posts in this subreddit that are kind of talking about anti-Facebook.
I've got a couple good ones.
Nice. Because I think that there's a way. Facebook and what Facebook does isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the world we live in. That's how society works now.
You can't unring a bell.
That's what they said about MySpace.
I don't think they ever said that about MySpace.
And look where it is today.
Look where it is now. Justin Timberlake owns it.
Still MySpace.com. Yeah.
I think, you know, it's just a quick thing. It's like Facebook has become a tool for people, a business tool, and it's how do you want to use your tool, like for good, for evil. And the Cambridge Analytica people kind of found out that they could essentially influence the way you think.
Right.
By mining your data and using Facebook as the tool to do it. And that's what everyone kind of fell for it. And we've never seen that before necessarily like this. So I guess now you figure out a way to sort of plan for it next election and sort of, you know, adhere. I don't know. Maybe it makes people hopefully more want to be more educated and more informed in a more
hopefully,
honest
but I
way.
Doubt it.
It's also just being, I think, being
aware
of it.
Did you see that article?
<It's> like, did you see it?
Did you see? You're like, what article, where, and who wrote it, and where is it from? Like, you got to start there.
Yeah, and you're not even asking that. You're asking, did you see that headline?
Yeah.
Like, did people don't totally. Actually
I mean,
read
being, being aware of what they're doing in the context of this Cambridge Analytica thing is very important. And that is, I think, the biggest thing from this is like, cool, we know how they're using our data. If you're a cynical person, then it's not even being a cynical person. It's being a realistic person where you go, listen, we know this industry is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's either going underground or it's staying on the surface. Now it's a matter of manifesting the results you want by trolling the system in what it does. Right?
Troll back.
I mean, because this is what
I mean, there's clap back and then there's troll back. So,
So this is, I don't remember where I heard this story. I think maybe it was on, it might've been on a pod. I think it was actually on the Rogan podcast. He was talking about how, AI people are trolling AI car or the self-driving Tesla cars, which unfortunately, obviously, we know the Uber driver. There was an Uber, somebody got hit by an Uber car that was
where was that
driving? Arizona. The video actually got released on Reddit yesterday.
I saw it. Pretty, I didn't watch it, but I get it. Yeah. Someone died.
But people were. I think he was saying how people have found a way to fuck with the cars and not fuck with them in like a dangerous kind of Ukrainian hack way. Literally just like people will throw, when they see a car like that, they'll either like throw in front of it or throw something in front of it or something that makes it stop, and it fucks with the drivers, right? Because they're just being dicks. They're just trolling it, right? And that's the thing, I think, that as we get more and more into this AI-centric civilization, there's always going to be a way to fuck with the AI. Because once you understand how their algorithm works, you go, oh, okay, so if it's doing this thing, then if I do this thing, it's gonna freak it out, and it's going to make me laugh.
I mean, did you ever throw a rock at a train?
Yeah, of course.
It's the best.
I used to throw them at cars, dude.
Yeah, so, okay, the next thing is, I mean, if you're a 12 or 13-year-old kid riding bikes won't exist, but all you're going to want to do is sit around and throw batteries at AI cars all day because it's going to be hilarious. Like,
totally.
Thunk, thunk, thunk. And guess what? Like, the camera's going to turn and try to get you, and you're going to be like, fuck you, AI.
Exactly.
And that shit's, I mean, and then where does it go from there? I mean, if the freeway's full of AI cars, I'm going to get on the overpass and I'm going to, like, drop a bicycle.
Right. Yeah.
Just to see what they do.
Totally. I mean, exactly.
You know, it's just going to, people will always, like, want to
test it. People want to test it for their own
especially
fucking jokes.
Teenage boys, because they're just
they're fucking idiots.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah. So I think so that's a really good tactic in terms of anti-Facebook sentiment. Just use it for your advantage. Because again, the reason you don't quit Facebook, and I think is a very legitimate, valuable reason, is because people have connected. Like, it is like a Rolodex now, right? I mean, it's one of the main things Facebook is used for. I know in my life, at least, where there are a lot of people that, if I disconnect from Facebook, I would have no fucking idea how I'd ever connect with them again. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why older people in particular get on Facebook, is because they know, you know, they haven't heard from their childhood best friend in 40 years.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, I wonder what they're doing. They find them, they reconnect. It's a beautiful thing for that reason, but you have to know what is going on with Facebook.
You use Facebook? Mm. I use the phone book, dude.
Just looking back at the subreddit itself, like, there are some interesting posts. One here is, I'll actually save this one for after I say this, but there's a list from TechCrunch that came out yesterday that lists, it's an incomplete list of all the negative consequences and specific abuses that stem from Facebook's product development process.
Ooh.
So that's a really interesting thing to read. I'll kind of talk about a couple of them, but Beacon, so your shopping revealed. One of Facebook's first big miscalculations was people's reaction to Beacon in 2007.
Okay.
The feature let other websites people visited, starting with 44 partners, publish newsfeed stories about their browsing and shopping behavior back to the Facebook profile unless they opted out. So that's like, that's a long time ago. That was almost 10 years ago.
And that was automated too. So you had to opt out to get out of it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the default was you opt in.
Yeah. And so there's a huge list. I mean, app platforms equal game span. Another early encounter with unforeseen consequences came after Facebook launched its app platform. And the company expected developers to build helpful utilities that would go viral. But game developers seized on the platform and its viral growth channel, spawning companies like Zynga, and turned optimizing newsfeed game spam into a science. So, like, Facebook has made, like, its entire success off of trusting humanity to make good choices. And that ends up being pretty fucking dumb.
Totally.
So there's some interesting stuff there, but the thing I think is really kind of shocking. So Zuckerberg saved tens of millions of dollars by selling Facebook stock ahead of Monday's decline.
I know. So this is actually this
whoa, conspiracy. Bilderberg, Zuckerberg. Yeah,
so this is a real
Martha trading anyone?
This is actually a real potential issue, because I think that there's
SEC jail. I mean, he could Shkreli.
He could get in serious trouble with insider trading.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the rules are on this, because, I mean, obviously, if you own a ton of stock, and
bankrupt you if all of his wealth is, which it's not, in that stock, and then it plummets. I mean, it would be in his best interest to sell.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I don't know how that works, where it's like if nobody does. If you're going to get in trouble, or if you feel like something's going on, obviously, you're protecting your own wealth. I don't know. It seems like
just get on your E-Trade account and you go, sell 1 million shares on Facebook.
That is crazy, though, because it's like, what are you supposed to do? Like, what if you accidentally find out something's going to happen to the company that you have huge investments in? Not do anything?
I know.
Like, it is. It's a really confusing thing.
It's a very, very confusing thing. But I mean, I think this whole delete Facebook thing is, I think we've hit on an interesting point here, which is, delete Facebook, I don't think is the answer. Because I think it's the same, it's the same binary logic that we see with a lot of the things that are going on right now with like Me Too, a lot of the political movements or whatever, where it really is like, if I don't like it, eradicate it from society.
Yeah.
And I don't think that works, man. I don't think banning guns is gonna help the problem. I think it just creates more problems.
And well, with Facebook too, it's like they already own your information.
Exactly.
They own
exactly.
it. So like deleting Facebook, all you're doing is, you know, taking away their ability to track you from that point forward. Like they right. already have tons of information
right
that and I think, you sold to them basically.
I mean shopping for like Betty Crocker recipes as like that me and Friday, actually all of us doing stuff like that is gonna, it's
we bake
like,
we're big time bakers.
It's taking back your information because you are anonymizing yourself by essentially creating fake accounts, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it kind of gets back to me, but a lot of what's going on now, it's just, it's sort of take an extra 5 minutes and read a little bit about some of the stuff and know what you're getting into, and don't just right. God, I mean, I feel like people just engage in these contracts without sort of understanding what they're getting into. And it's like, do a little bit of, you know, digging yourself, have a little bit of responsibility for your own actions online.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know, it's asking people to work,
right?
But that's fine. I mean, if you can use that information, not against them, but just be smarter about how you share yourself.
Totally, mm-hmm. Totally.
You're not going to be such a... I don't know.
Yeah. I found someone I think we should guild.
Okay,
ooh. Cool.
So this person's name is Fantastic_comment. Fantastic comment. He posted an article to the anti-Facebook group from the Quartz website.
Sure.
With how to block Facebook with... These are all the URLs that you need to block to actually stop Facebook from tracking you.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, you don't need to delete it. You can literally just upload this list. So, there's on your desktop, you can follow the instructions that are in the text in this article and add the entire list to your host's files. So, you can, it's easier to do it from your computer than it is from your phone, but you can, you know, completely stem that without deleting Facebook. So, we'll post that on our. On our website, cool. In our Facebook, and guild Fantastic Comment.
In our Facebook.
Definitely check out our Facebook.
Troll Facebook.
That's another thing, you know, like I was kind of reading about this post and, you know, a lot of our, it's really easy to like hate on the big company, but,
right.
You know, I mean, we all kind of, we use it, we still use it all the time.
Very regularly.
To get information, and we're kind of lazy about being honest with ourselves maybe. And it's like, if you want to delete it, you're going to have to now read a book on the couch. Like, are you willing?
Totally.
Now, that's it. Everyone's gonna be like, yo, hell yeah, I read. I'm a reader. And it's like, all right, that's like saying you go to the gym. Like, how totally. After totally. A week, what does it look like? And so, can you really adhere to your delete Facebook thing?
I know.
Which is fine if you do, but you know, I think people are lazier than they think.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's
I am. I don't know.
Oh, I agree.
I know.
I just think
it's really easy to just get on.
It's a scapegoat for a lot of other similar issues, man. Because Google also does this, right? Twitter does this. Every Instagram does this. Granted, they're owned by Facebook, but like
Google reads my email.
Google reads your email.
Oh, no!
I mean, it's every there are tons and tons and tons of sites online and companies online that are using your behavior to make assessments about you and then to trade them for real cash, because there is a monetary system here. To essentially people that might not use it right.
You have to ask yourself, when was the last time you spent $1 on Facebook? Never. I've never spent $1.
Oh, I've spent cash on Facebook.
I used to play Farm Life.
Okay.
Well, we promote on Facebook every once in a while as this pod.
That's true. I spent a ton of dough. I've probably spent $100, but I guess.
Yeah. But this is like, latest.
Most people don't spend money on Facebook. Yeah. They just use it, I guess, is my point. But you have to ask yourself why they have so much power if nobody's spending money.
Totally.
It's like, obviously, they're making money off of you somehow.
So. Yeah, I think this is just, if we think about it, like humans have never been deterred from their own self-destruction, ever.
Oh my God.
So like, this is just the most high-tech and latest version of us fucking ourselves.
Totally.
And we're not going to stop.
Yeah, and I think this is also, I mean,
is
we are...
Is this a nuclear bomb, you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
I think we're also seeing, like again, it was kind of what I was saying about internet law earlier, where the internet is not that old. And I think that we're seeing one of the real behemoths of the internet get engaged in some really complicated ethical questions that we are now trying to figure out how to deal with. Because I think we're talking in the context of selling data, but remember, like, part of the anti-Facebook sentiment is also coming from the fact that fake news has completely fucked us, and there hasn't really been a good system because of the democracy of Facebook.
I've thought of two new businesses in the last 4 seconds, but I want to pitch you based on what you just said. One is the fake news thing. Is there like a sort of an entity? What's the most trustworthy entity that we like in America that is a company? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some kind of big company that everyone trusts to sort of deliver in, you know, the information correctly.
Wikipedia.
Is it? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I actually heard, so I was listening to Jordan Peterson the other day talk for some reason.
Because it's user.
Well, he brought up a really interesting point because we always think of peer-reviewed articles as like a clear sign of truth because multiple people have looked it over and multiple people give it credence.
Mm-hmm.
And Wikipedia is the biggest peer-reviewed peer-reviewed source of information in the world.
We can come to the truth together if given.
I think that's what's proposed by Facebook. So the reason I say that is I actually think Wikipedia has become increasingly trustful for that reason. But anyway,
I don't know if there was some entity that was sort of. I'm not saying it's a government entity. I don't think it should be. It should be sort of a private government.
Who do we trust in any sector anymore? I literally don't know.
But yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. But there, I think there's money to be made in sort of boiling down factual honesty.
Okay.
And so if you could then kind of through that company, like get a badge or something to check off, like we've run this through our system, it's 82% honest. Right. That's pretty good. And there was some score you could adhere to some articles. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
fascinating.
I do think there's room for a company like this to exist. And I'm not saying it's us because, like,
that's a lot of work, man.
Well, it's a team of people, it's a real thing. But if you were reading something online and it went through some sort of a check and balance, that's essentially what the New York Times claims to be. Although, like, you know, they skew in a direction because they have a political direction.
Yeah. Slant.
Everybody slants, right? So I'm saying remove the slant. Like, put it through you get a bunch of, like, number-crunching geek, geek dudes and ladies. Yeah. And sort of, like, just keep it as robotic as possible. I don't know.
I mean, I don't mind the slant, to be completely honest. I think we just need to understand that there's a slant.
But it's such a gray area of like, oh, you like the slant in this direction, then you like the slant in this direction. But I want just the truth.
I agree.
And I don't want to have
facts. But you also want to know when you're being given facts and when you're being given slant. I mean, that's the complicated thing about
that.
Maybe
you put this into, obviously it's written by a human that has a life and emotions and an opinion. And so they're supposed to take that out of it, but they don't.
That Rogan cast I was talking about the other day, I think it was actually the one I was listening to on Ben Shapiro. Because Ben Shapiro is really popular conservative commentator and it's like really divisive, like people really really hate
this
guy.
He's really interesting to listen to.
He's really interesting
to listen
to.
Super smart,
very smart, right?
Yeah,
but it was one, they were talking about this in the context of slant, and Rogan was like, but Shapiro, you are a commentator, that's your job is to have slant. The problem is that people are conflating commentators with people that deliver the news, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a big issue, is like the New York Times is supposed to develop or deliver the news apart from the opinion sections, right?
Right.
The opinion sections is designed for slant, right?
But
all the other stuff
the
is supposed to be news.
In any newspaper, like, they will deliver the news, but then not deliver all pieces of the news, right? And that's where their slant comes. They didn't say something that's slant worthy. They just maybe didn't involve every fact. And that's
different, though. I mean,
I'm just saying that's where the pick and choose comes. Which information do you choose to put forward or not?
I mean,
that's how you can change the slant of an article without actually saying what you think.
It's such a slippery slope, though, man. Because if that's the logic, then you have to be able to say, there was a shooting in Parkland High School today where 17 people were died. Granted, it's possible that could be a false flag and they could be crisis actors. However, what we're seeing now is, you know what I mean? Like,
that's an opinion, though. I mean, you know what I mean?
But that's the we're in this world now, this weird, complicated place where people go, my facts are, these are crisis actors.
My truth.
So
I'm living my truth.
The fact that you're not saying that makes it a slant. And that's just not true.
But if the facts are a guy walked into a school and shot a bunch of people,
right.
Those are the facts, right?
Right.
But then what else do you need to say?
I know, I agree. But then people think that their facts... People think you're leaving out
facts. No, but I'm saying
facts,
we need a system of governing body. Right. Like, we trust the FBI, or at least we did like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what is that system that you trust?
What is the governing body, I think, is a really good question.
I think that's an idea. There seems to be a hole in this whole process of something like that that everyone can sort of sign off on and be like, yeah, that's...
Right. I mean, and it needs to be a world governing body, too. We got some ducks, dude. Is that the duck alarm?
I got some ducks in my pants.
Does that mean you need to feed your ducks? Is that the alarm?
It means I need to leave soon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are crunching Rogan time. That's fine, though. What else do we want to talk about on the demise of Facebook? I think we hit a really golden nugget here, which is don't delete it, just troll it.
Just troll it, guys.
I think that's the idea of the pod, for sure. Troll.
And visit our Facebook and subscribe.
definitely check out our Facebook.
Yeah. Well, then don't you become part of fake news? And is that...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
too.
What's...
Yeah.
I guess take anything you read on the internet with a grain of salt. Yeah. And try to... I mean, the internet is designed for our intents and purposes to just have a good time. Like,
if we're chaotic about the things we're liking and stuff, I feel like it will be impossible. Like, this is obviously wishful thinking because I don't think humans are smart enough to mobilize in mass on this. But if we were, it would be so random. I don't think it would be possible anymore to like determine trends for them to leverage. But again, like my grandma and aunt and mom books, they're never going to not like the things they like. They love gardening.
They're never going to stop liking Baskin Robbins on Facebook.
They love it.
What about another? I mean, this has probably been tried a million times. I just have no idea. But is there sort of another iteration of Facebook? I'm talking about MySpace, talking about Friendster. No, but is there a group? Is there a social network that you join that's you pay for like five? It's $3 a month or whatever.
Right.
It's like affordable. But then there's an actual sort of contract that you sign into where it's like, you know, all of your information is very protected. It seems more like it's like a private club. These things exist in a regular life. Why shouldn't they exist online? And I guess, I don't know, maybe there's a public portion that you open to like everybody, but then there's a private portion that nobody gets to. I mean, that seems like another thing people would be interested in paying for.
I agree. I mean, I think the...
Prediction.
The issue with Facebook and the kind of the... There are a lot of social media networks out there, right? Like we all participate in a bunch of them, Reddit being one of them, but its main feature is anonymity, right? And it caters to a different audience and it does a different thing. 4chan is a social network. Twitter is a social network. Instagram is a social network. There are tons. LinkedIn is a social network, but they all serve very specialized purposes and they have different attributes that make them what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so by joining Facebook, you're joining a group of people, the broadest group possible that you know will be selling your information. So going into that contract, just know that. Then do what you want with that information.
Totally.
Troll it, participate, don't. But just know there's going to be news coming at you that might not be accurate. Like, know these things going into it.
Facebook,
and I think now, Facebook, and then make a choice.
Facebook serves a purpose very specific to Facebook that I think is a very valuable service, which is connecting with people that you may have a semi-personal relationship with. I think that's something that Twitter doesn't do. Instagram doesn't do that. It's a very impersonal place. Facebook is, like I said, it's like the reason older people have embraced Facebook so much is because it's a really good opportunity to be like, Jim was my neighbor back when I lived in Albany in 78. Found Jim. Now we're buddies again. We both like racist posts on Facebook.
It's like a public social security number.
A little bit.
It's almost like a utility at a certain point. We all are part of it. You're on. People can find you. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, but like at least having this little print of a, you know, it's like proof that you are here.
Totally. And I think that's I think what is kind of I'm very weary to be hard-lined anti-Facebook as like a kind of a delete it. This thing is, we need to purge this from society. Because I don't think that's the answer. I think what's going on right now is Facebook is because of its size and because of it is quite literally the creator of an industry. I think we're now seeing the byproducts of the industry that has been created, the negative byproducts. And it's, and all of a sudden we're going, well, fuck Facebook, when it's not really a fuck Facebook thing. It's a, hey, we are entering a new age of enlightenment through digital media that we all need to be aware of. Right?
Yeah, it's in their best interest to make their situation work for us better, the consumer. Totally. And so that's how it is. If this was a government body, they'd be like, yeah, we're just going to keep doing the way we
totally,
do it.
Totally.
But because they're a private company and they do live on stock value, if people start to dip, they're going to be like, look, we're going to fix this. We're going to make it better. And then we're going to regain people. Because every year, there's another crop of Facebookers out there.
And they're going to find a new reason to exist. I mean, I think Facebook bought Instagram for a reason. They've bought all the AI that supports Messenger now for a reason, right? There are a lot of different ways that Facebook is trying to monetize and trying to grow and trying to expand. And, you know, and it's going to be, I think we, I think just like anything else, I mean, this is why, just circle back, this is why Timmy Thick is so interesting, right? Because Timmy Thick was what we kind of said earlier, where it's the best part of our consumption of Timmy Thick from the pod's perspective is like we're not over engaged in that character. We're watching it almost like it's Rick and Morty or something, right? It's just a character. It's just a character on the internet. We're watching a storyline happen, right? The problem is when you put too much of your own interpretation of truth in something that is so easy to disintegrate, right? Like if you put your faith of the way the world feels stable in a Jenga set, you're fucked. You know what I mean? And I think that's like a lot of these things on the internet. It's just like if you look at an article and you go, this is the truth. This is how it works. I saw it on Breitbart. It must be true, right?
You're stupid.
You're stupid. And you're allowing your reality to get demolished.
And right? I think that goes for any news outlet. I'm 100%, talking about 100%. New York Times. I'm talking about Time Magazine. I'm talking about Breitbart. Like they all
totally
double check your stories.
I mean, that's why I love listening to Ben Shapiro as much as I love listening to like Rachel Maddow, is because you look at it and you go, okay, this one's saying this thing, this one's saying this thing. In the Venn diagram of truth, I see where the nuggets lie.
Yes, right? And then also being able to recognize that these individual talking heads across the board, that's news outlets, that's, you know, commentators, everybody, they all have a thing they're doing.
They're people, man.
And they're people. They're people. So knowing
with agendas.
Knowing that they have these things, these agendas, like just to be able to see that gives you a lot more leverage when you're in your own decision making.
I mean, look
like,
at the look
Ben
at the
Shapiro's life. A this kind of guy. Totally. She's a that kind of person. Okay, now I see the players in the game and I can sort of make my choice a little smarter. Don't be sold easily.
The career of Megyn Kelly, right? Like she was the scapegoat of conservative media for a minute, right? She was like the conservative talk show host in Fox News, and then now she's a generalist, right?
And yeah, she's failing though.
Yes, well,
she's like she's on in the morning at my house because she comes on after the Today Show, and she's just got this like cold, like I would never cross her.
Nah,
I think she would be a nice woman to talk to. I would like to be her friend.
I like that you're taking a contrarian view here because she comes across as like she will roundhouse kick me in the teeth.
I'm just saying if we would have given Benito Mussolini more of a chance, then we'd be in a better place.
I mean, guys, maybe all he needed was a hug.
I'm kidding.
I feel like I think let's go back to Mark Zuckerberg's own words as we close out this pod.
Right.
Just remember back when he was 19 and he called us all dumb fucks.
Did he say that?
Yeah. That's he said, I don't know why people trust me. They do. They're dumb fucks. And with that's why the human race will end one day.
to quote.
Hold on. Look at our president. I mean, you have to agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
We deserve every. Yeah. No. We
might be offended by that, but.
Totally.
It's kind of true.
It's true. Yeah. And I hate to be.
Let's just lean into the dumb fuckery.
But I don't care, actually, that I'm a nihilist. We're all fucking dumbasses.
I think so.
We have the ability to not be dumb, but it takes like, if everyone put like 3%, 4%, a little bit of effort out to just like learn a couple things, read a little bit. We could get out of the dumb fuckery zone, but it's so easy to be lazy now and just sit and accept what you watch.
Like, human nature is
you have
to
try, you have to push back a little, I think.
And greedy.
I mean, thinking is exhausting, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
And I think
Not for this pod.
We finish this pod every Thursday and we go take a nap.
Great minds.
We actually live in Chambers.
This one's an interesting one. Don't delete Facebook. Just troll it. Give them your information. Like Baskin Robbins and TrueSwords.com. And yeah. they'll never know yep. who the fuck you are.
And then yeah. check out that right. Quartz article that so we're like posting on article. Facebook.
Like NRA and like PETA, dude.
Right. I mean, read about Timmy Thick.
You're and, like, this doesn't add up.
To quote Mark Zuckerberg, fuck you, Jeff Winklevoss.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Pretty much what he said, right?
Those Bitcoin yeah. guys are crushing it right now.
They
right?
were. And now they've lost a lot of money. But it's coming back. Bitcoin's always on the
round. I think it's the North Koreans. You heard it here first.
It's possible.
Always been the North Koreans.
Timmy Thick was Stephen Hawking all along.
Yep. He was. He sure was.
All right. So
those guys are dancing in a black hole somewhere, dude.
Let's close this one out. This is fucking hilarious. I got a subreddit for celiac disorder.
Nice.
So
hey, that's
no
a really
grains,
good one.
No grains here.
And I got a random from, it looks like a nude model named Summer Ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A random?
A random from Summer Ray.
Let me
I already clicked out. Oh, okay. Tough luck.
Oh, well, I got Cooper Mini, and I'm not gonna let you see it either.
Well, fine. You know?
I got one called Casual UK. It's just like pictures and posts about people in the UK doing like casually nice things.
That's really beautiful.
It's very pleasant. Like someone just like having a casual cup of tea.
That makes me feel better.
I'm getting so many boring ones today. Maybe it heard the tone of my voice. I got Economy followed by Wall Street.
Wow, dude. Wow. I mean, you're getting hard pressed from the right.
I am getting hard pressed from the right. They heard me mention Ben Shapiro, and they're just like, this guy loves money.
Yeah.
But who doesn't love money? We're all trying to get it.
I know.
So we can crush people.
And the last thing we need to say before we close this one out, shout out Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to kick Donald Trump's ass.
Oh,
we're meeting you behind the school to watch.
You'll see you in the parking lot.
How ridiculous is that?
I love it. I wanted to bring it up. I was so enthusiastic about Timmy Thick, but I was just like, oh, but this Biden thing is so good.
There's a big fight
so
going
good.
Down pretty soon.
Trump's a big guy, right? And so is
he's
Biden,
like 6'4".
Though. He's like 6'4". I mean, but
nimble, dude. He's got the footwork.
But Biden's probably like 6'3", yeah. And he's like, got those old man punch arms where they put up your dukes kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
So if anybody
Trump's a biter, but you got to watch out for a biter.
He might be a biter.
Trump's a fat ass. He's a pincher.
He's a slapper, dude.
No rules. He's got no rules. It'd be a good fight.
You know who Donald Trump is? He's a tell the teacher before the fight happens.
Oh,
this, it's times like this we wish Celebrity Deathmatch was still on the air.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
We'll leave it at that.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, to close this one out, Joe Biden.
The fight will probably have already taken place by the time you hear this.
Joe Biden, Uncle Joe, Vice President Joe Biden, in an interview said that he would beat the shit out of Donald Trump.
And Donald,
he said he wishes he was back in high school so they could meet around back.
Yep.
And
he beat the shit out of him.
I took that
he used
as
to beat people up like that.
He wanted to stand up 69 him, but that's not what everyone else was saying.
No.
Tombstone 69.
And everybody I think was like, Joe, you're the fucking best. And then Donald Trump, of course, in a tweet today was just
at
like
6:01 from his toilet.
Yeah.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Right?
Taking
he was a big like, shit.
He was like, nuh-uh, dude, there's no way. Dude, I would totally kick his ass. He's a chump.
I'd make him cry.
Yeah.
And that's America.
And
that's the world.
That's America. So I'm looking forward to that fight.
No, Zuckerberg, we're not dumb.
See you.
We geniuses.
See you behind Martha Douglas Stone High School.
Yeah.
Old William Taft Elementary.
Yeah, it's going down.
Yeah. Oh, man, how fucking great would that be? That is the America I want. I want Timmy Thick to be a social experiment, and I want to have a televised, on fucking Spike TV, Donald Trump and Joe Biden bare knuckle boxing.
Let's
in the back of the White House parking lot.
This is how chimpanzees determine their alpha, right? There's a fight. Whoever wins, they're the president. I mean, that's essentially where we are right now.
That's where we are.
That's how
we've gone back to chimp land.
I fucking love it. All right, so this is Did You Reddit, a weekly podcast about the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My Freddy. And we'll be back next week with another pod. And follow us, like us, subscribe, comment, tell your friends. You know all that stuff.
Follow us on Facebook, dude.
Follow us on Facebook, but troll them at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Till next time. See ya.